is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use the handsets of the telephone when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question by Mr. Mapelli with Equita SIM. Now, good evening. I have a few questions. The first one is about Canada. The idea of having zero margins takes into account the override claims that you had in the contracts. And then a second question about future equity that you have to inject for concessions. How much? Do you know that? And then do we have to consider the transformation of semi-equity into equity even in the second part of 2017? And then the last question, I'd like to go back to page number six because I have to understand how you come to 2 billion of new orders. By summing up all of the orders, I get to 1 billion. So perhaps I am missing something, but there's 1 billion missing in my calculations in terms of new orders. Now, first of all, let me take your question about Canada. Now, as I said, we managed to complete the first part of the negotiation, and the result is very positive, and the company managed to keep margins equal to zero, meaning that there will be no improvement or no growth of margins versus what I told you in previous conference calls, meaning costs equal to revenues. And I believe it is correct for the company to adopt this kind of approach. As I told you, it's a complex project. Negotiations are going on. There are a number of positive factors that we are looking at when negotiating this issue with the customer. But as I said, I would like to maintain the same cautiousness, which means zero margins. Now, I do apologize for interrupting you. Basically, you do not need to kind of be able to win over part of the claims. Now, if you lose a claim on the made by the customer, we will not have to take into account depreciation or amortization on your P&L. Now, let me make a clarification to answer your question. We're not negotiation reserves or claims in the traditional manner that we are used to approach these issues. We are renegotiating a contract. We said that we had productivity issues. A number of technical works were made. And so the negotiation relates to aspects related to the productivity and to the baseline of the contract. We are not negotiating a claim in this case or a litigation. Now, this is why, now considering what I told you about this project in the past, this is why for cautiousness purposes we said, okay, let's suppose the margins equal to zero. This is the issue. We're not negotiating an agreement about reserves with this customer. Now, let me take another question that you asked, and this leads me to once again talk about the big commercial efforts made, and you mentioned page number six. Now, 2 billion, so 1.6 billion are new orders, and 400 million are related by concessions. And as I said, these enter in our backlog when the financing side has been completed. Now, on the slide, we kind of illustrated the most important orders or contracts. I did not mention what has happened in Romania, Bulgaria, around 200 million euros, and all of the activities that we are carrying out in Italy. I just decided to highlight the most important contracts that we secured for ourselves on page 6 of the presentation. Now, I will answer the question about your commitment in a minute. Just give me a second. Now, equity injections in second part of 2016, 50 million euros of this 40 are equity and the remaining semi-equity. In 2017, 60 million euros of this 32 million euros equity and 28 semi-equity. Thank you. The next question by Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have four questions to ask, if possible. Now, the first question is about the margins in the first half of the year. Now, you said that the results benefited of the completion of a number of projects. I'd like to understand what this positive impact is. 10 million euros. So I'd like to know the contribution to margins in this first part of the year. And then another question about Canada, just a clarification. You said you have negotiations ongoing. Moreover, mention was made of you taking a bigger share. So what are we speaking about the incremental value of the project versus the initial value? And then another question about financial charges. I have seen an increase in financial charges. I'd like to understand something about financial charges at the end of the year. I guess that the renegotiation of covenants had a cost. And then another question about the working capital. It is quite clear that in the P&L, the value of production is stable, and we find a strong cash absorption by the working capital. It's quite a trend in the industry, but I like to understand what a company like yours, but also other companies in this field, can do when facing with greater difficulties in having customers recognize the work in progress related to the contracts. Now, thank you. Just a second, because you asked a number of questions. I will have to just collect the ideas and, you know, put things into order, if you allow me. Okay, I will try to answer all the questions you asked. I hope I will not forget any of them. You asked the four questions. We'll try to answer them all. Now, as to margins, as I said during the presentation, it is quite clear that in the first half of the year, we completed a number of projects. For instance, in Turkey, the first phase of the Gebze-İzmir, and also we complete the works for the third bridge on the Bosphorus in Turkey. Then in Russia, the work in progress on the VHSD and the completion of the Bukovo Airport, And in Italy, incidentally, we also completed activities on Tuscany hospitals, which, of course, released the margins envisaged by the contracts in Turkey, but also in Russia. While these are contracts which are associated to important major margins. And so the closing, the completion of the works falls within the first part of the year. Now, big projects which have big margins, but more contained versus those in the past, well, this will, you know, help us to achieve the EBITDA and EBIT margin envisaged by the strategy plan. As far as Canada is concerned, I think I gave you all of the facts and all of the information. Now, of course, as I said, there are negotiations ongoing, and I cannot say anything more. It would not be useful in this moment. What I wanted to say, however, is that the customer decided to finance the works from now till the end of the negotiations. Well, this is a good sign, but I wouldn't like to say anything else. I would wait for the closing of the negotiations. I think it would be also, if you wish, a way to respect the customer as well. And then your question about the financial charges. In the first part of the year, 95 million euros, which are higher than what we had in the first part of 2015. And here two factors are to be taken into account. Now, you tell me that these are connected factors, and as I said, big commercial efforts impact on the working capital, impact on the net financial position, and therefore bigger interests to be paid. There is also a currency fluctuation, which of course impact upon the financial charges. And then, as you said, there are costs for the covenants, which will not come back again. As to the working capital, your fourth question, well, we are putting in place all of the necessary activities. We set up a working capital task force. We strengthened the financial structure, meaning the financial structure of the people of the company. We devoted resources to this, and we are acting strongly and firmly on releasing reserves which are related to works in Italy and also abroad. Moreover, there is strong attention in improving the certification process to speed up payment on the part of customers. Now, we were focused already on these issues in the past, but now we have a stronger attention to these issues now. Now, if I may, I would like to ask a follow-up question about this point. Now, of course, as you said, you are strongly committed to manage the working capital. The same applies to other companies in the field. But I'd like to understand, is that an issue affecting the industry as a whole? Now, at the end, we are speaking of production being stable, but 400 million euros of cash being absorbed by the working capital with the works which are to be certified and which should an increase in the working capital. So I'd like to understand whether this is an issue in the industry or is it a momentary, temporary difficulty? Please help me to understand. Well, let me try to reason with you. There are, of course, different companies operating in the industry, It all depends on the complexity of the projects. It depends on the customers. Different factors contribute to this. Well, in Italy, until we had the law on tenders, there was actually a law decree that was issued by the government which helped companies manage the working capital, and things have improved versus what it was a year ago. And this law decree certainly benefited the industry. And then there are projects which are different between them. Some of the projects are paid based on milestones achieved. Some of the projects are paid at the completion of the works. So it's a very different circumstance. So I cannot give you what it is, the trend in the industry. And then since you also sometimes deal with the private customers, things also tend to be different there as well. As I said, our focus is over and above the project that we have ongoing in this moment. Our attention is also very much focused on future projects, and there our attention on payments on milestones will be very, very high. So this has become one of the fundamental factors to which the company is devoting a lot of attention. I hope I answered you, but I don't have a recipe which can be applied to all cases. Thank you. The next question by Saul Casadio with M&G. Now, good evening. I have three questions to ask. I'd like to go back to the working capital, and the question is the following. I'd like to understand the main reason why you expect the working capital to absorb a lot of cash this year. Is it related to special projects? And I'd like to understand why this is occurring this year. The same applies to last year as well. So that's the first question. Second question about your expectations of the net financial position for 2016. Now, there are no expectations to receive cash in from other concessions. So I just wanted to have the confirmation that you're not disposing other concession assets this year. And then third question, the covenants that you renegotiated, slide 10 of the presentation, I think. Now there is no gross debt reduction related to the covenants. I wonder if the plan is more related to EBITDA and EBIT rather than gross debt. Thank you for your questions. I'll try to answer the question about assets disposal. Now, when presenting the strategy plan, we also illustrated a very important program related to asset disposals. With the strategy plan, we said that we were going to dispose of A4 Holding, that we were going to define the disposal of a number of Italian assets, but the cash-in that we expect this year is related to the disposal of A4 Holding. Now, by the end of the year, the net debt target is benefits only from the disposal of A4 Holding. Now, as to the disposal plan for Italian assets, we are continuing the negotiations. So we expect that for Tuscany Hospitals M5, by the end of the year, we should have interesting and important results. We are also dealing with the Chakaya hydroelectric plant that we would like to dispose of. We In our plan, we also envisaged a cash in from Kashaya, 28-30 million euros. But as of today, in our plan, in order to reach 1.1 billion euros of net debt, we also envisaged the cash in coming from the disposal of A4 holding. As to the rest of disposals, we are continuing as envisaged by the strategy plan. And I believe that the goal is being perceived asset by asset, as we announced when presenting the strategy plan. As to your question about the working capital, if you go to page 13 of the presentation, now, of course, if you take the value at the end of December 2015, well, the working capital was 689 million euros, but we have always been around 800, 900 million euros. As you can see, in June 2015, 870, in March 2016, 965. What was the impact due to? Well, first of all, the completion of important projects, the momentum that we had to give to certain projects to complete some of these projects. All of this did not allow us to leverage on subcontractors because we had to support the completion of the activities. So usually we manage things a bit more firmly, but in this case we had to favor the completion of the works. So that cash absorption was due to a policy that we adopted to close and complete the works very rapidly. Now, as to covenants, or the covenant, which I think is illustrated on page 10 of the presentation. Now, before presenting the data to the market for the first half of the year, I decided to kind of go back to the strategy plan, because these are the targets of our company, which are reported on page 9. Of course, the covenant is very important. Being able to renegotiate our covenants was very important, but we're working to achieve the targets of the strategy plan. Within 2020, the decrease by 50% of the gross debt and the decrease by 50% of the net debt and the disposal of certain concessions, and the debt net EBITDA ratio has to be below 2. I think I answered all of your questions. Can I ask you a follow-up question to the working capital, because I did not understand something? Well, if it is true that the worsening of the working capital is due to the fact that we had to give back advance payments on completed works, but the backlog is continuing to grow, and if this is the main dynamic impacting on the working capital, I don't understand it. Now, the backlog is growing, and you should have some benefits given that you take advance payments. I understand that on a quarterly basis things can change, but I just wanted to understand what is going to happen between now and the end of the year. Now, as far as the working capital is concerned, over and above the fact that part of the projects that we acquired and the related advance payments of these new projects were used to make up for the advance payments that we have to give back on completed works. But there are a number of projects which should be awarded to us, or which we have already been awarded, where advance payments are envisaged to be paid in the second part of the year. And this is something on which we are working to decrease the cash absorption of on the part of working capital. Okay, I'll stop here. I'm not very clear on this issue, but perhaps I'll come back to you. Well, if there is something which you haven't fully understand, you can get in touch with the Investor Relations Office, with Alessandra Orarati, who will be more than pleased to help you understand. The next question by Francesco Sala with Banca Akros. Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have a question on Turkey. I would like to know the following. The amount invested in equity or semi-equity in the two Turkish projects. Thinking of the Bosphorus Bridge and the Bay İzmit Bridge. So how much is equity or semi-equity there? And then the traffic data we read on the Gezbey İzmit motorways is related to a preliminary stage when there was no toll, where people did not pay to go on that motorway. I'd like to know what kind of indications you have now for traffic. When will there be tolling stations, when people will have to pay, start paying to use that motorway or for the bridge? And what is your revenues forecast for this year from the bridge on the İzmit Bay? Thank you. Let me just check a few figures for a second. Now, as to the investments for the third bridge, up until June, 209 million euros. Of this, 50.6 equity, 155.8 semi-equity. As to GOE, 224.6 million euros, 206.6 equity, and 20.9 semi-equity. These are the data which relates to the two big projects. As to your question about traffic, at the beginning of the presentation I told you something about the traffic and the number of vehicles. Now, I just mentioned this data because I wanted to tell you that the motorway is working and the traffic of vehicles using that motorway complies with the parameters that were used for the planning and construction of that motorway. So on Turkish projects, however, we have a minimum guaranteed, and that was used to build our financial plan. We have no traffic related risk, and we don't even have the tariff or toll related risk. And so the two projects, the third bridge on the Bosphorus and the Gezbey İzmir bridge and motorway, well, there we have always used as a principle the minimum guaranteed. Now, a follow-up question, if I may. Do you know when the motorway is going to be paid by vehicles, or is this a problem that is not an issue? Well, the project is cashing in money. If you are referring to the fact that during the inauguration ceremony, the Prime Minister of Turkey said that during the month of Ramadan, initially nobody was going to pay, but that lasted only a week, and now people are paying when they cross the bridge. There's nothing else to be said. That was a moment, a period that coincided with the initial operations of the motorway that lasted a week, and it was the period during the month of Ramadan. The next question from the English conference call by Ben Pin with Citigroup. You have the floor, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. So, I just wanted to clarify on slide 14. It implies that working capital outflow this year will be 300 million or even more. Is that correct?
Just a second, sir. We're checking figures. Now, in the first half of 2016, we had cash absorption of 383 million euros. This will decrease because we shall have advance payments, and we shall focus strongly on the working capital, and therefore the cash absorption of the working capital will decrease. On the left of the slide, you see the actual situation of the first half of the year, and then on the right of the slide, you see the forecast for the rest of the year. By putting together the two parts of the slide, you will see the reduction of the absorption of cash by the working capital. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, so as I understand it, it looks like for the full year, your net debt is going to be going up by 117 million, despite that you're going to be having sold an asset for 110 million. So underlying, the business is actually going to be burning about 230 million of cash in 2016. That, so I'm reading it, that is correct. How do you expect to turn this around? Going forward, because something is clearly wrong with some of your projects if you're booking certain revenues and you're not getting paid by your customers.
Now, overall, the containment of or the decrease of the net financial position going down to 1.1 billion euros is correct. We start the year 980 million euros, then 988 million euros at the beginning of the year. And then, let me repeat it, we had a strong cash absorption because of the strong industrial commitments that we undertook to complete the works. And now we have the working capital that I mentioned before at the end of the first half of the year. Now, if you listen to the presentation of the strategy plan, I said then that the first half of 2016 was going to be very committing for the company because we had to complete some big works. Now, from now to the end of the year, the decrease in cash absorption by the net working capital is due to advance payments that we get on new projects. Then we will release reserves, and this has already started a few months ago. So there are a number of activities that will help us to manage and decrease the working capital. So these goals have already been identified, and this will lead us to 1.1 billion euros. It is clear, however, that 2016, and let me repeat it again, 2016 is a year of strong commitments of this company. Now, I have to say we're very proud because we managed to complete a number of big projects in concessions, and then the two Turkish projects which were completed. We completed the airport in Santiago in Chile. We are building the Etilik hospital in Ankara. We are building another hospital in Chile, Felixburg. And so this is a year of momentum, of strong commitment. We shall get to 1.1 billion euros, but we're not going to burn money. These are investments which will give us a return on the way. And at the same time, however, we are cutting down on debts. Now, let me remind you what I said before. We are proceeding according with the strategy plan, which means that within 2020, debt has to go down by 50%. So I hope I answered correctly your question.
Okay, thank you. On slide 18, it talks about your liquidity position. I just wanted to focus in on the uncommitted financial debt, which remains high at about $500 million. Can you tell us how much have you been able to roll of that or extend year to date? And can you split that between the first quarter and the second quarter, please?
Just a second, sir. I will answer the question in a minute. Well, this is liquidity management made by the Treasury Office, which is it's an ordinary renewal of these facilities, of these lines of credit. However, about this point, about these factors, if you need some clarification about our liquidity position, you can get in touch with the Investor Relations Office, and we will help you understand things better. Thank you.
And, okay, one last question. What is the $10 million provision on the income statement relating to?
Are you referring to the 10 million euros?
Yes, the 10 million euros that showed up on the income statement.
Well, these are related to an order in Peru. We decided to post these provisions out of cautiousness related to the part of the works which is to be completed. However, these provisions relate to that kind of work. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Grazie mille. Next question by Navann Ty with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please, sir, you have the floor.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. Thanks for providing data on the uncommitted lines. I just have a question on several questions, but according to your discussions or in your view, will Astaldi be impacted by a potential restriction of Italian banks lending? My second question is on the covenants. Thanks for also providing the new limits. Can I please check if the debt is still defined as net financial position and if covenants tested semi-annually? And my last question is on Muskrat in Canada regarding the funding until year-end and the advance payments. Can it be subject to a future adjustment, so positive or negative, when negotiations are concluded? Thank you.
Just a second, sir. We'll give you the answer in a minute. I do apologize for letting you wait. I'll try to answer your questions. Now, as to limitations of Astaldi in Italy, because of the banking situation, I do not see any limitations. I don't feel it will be like sometimes people say. Please remember that as far as Italy is concerned, Italy accounts for 15% of our revenues, but I do not see any limitations in Italy. As far as your question about Canada, if I understood well, I think you want to have some information whether there might be adjustments to what we have already posted in the P&L in terms of margin. Well,
no, that's,
there has been no adjustment from this point of view. We have zero margin on that contract. Please remember that this started in the second part of 2015 when we decided to accept margins equal to zero. We do not see any adjustment by the end of the year from now to the end of the year. And there are no other piece of information or there's not much I can tell you about Canada in this moment. As far as your question about the covenants, perhaps could you repeat the question, because the covenants that we renegotiated with banks span the whole period of the strategy plan, and we reported in the presentation the most important data. Of course, the covenants are evaluated on a 6 months period, but we gave you the data from now till the end of 2019. I don't know whether you meant this or whether you wanted something else, whether your question actually aimed at understanding something else.
Yes, it answered it partly. I wanted to know if the definition is still a net financial position.
Yes. Well, as I said before, the covenants have quite some headroom, and we have some flexibility which relates to this as well.
Thank you. And on Muskrat, just a follow-up, the adjustment, I was wondering if you could have a future adjustment on the funding of the works that you will get until year end when the negotiations are concluded.
Well, let me tell you what I told you at the beginning about Canada. Now, as I said, we reached a bridge agreement, which was the result of some strong work, also some well-balanced work with the customer. Well, this agreement envisages funding from here till the end of the negotiations. However, we also set milestones as far as finance is concerned, and for this project there will have to be no financial contribution as far as we are concerned.
Thank you.
Now, the next question by Julia Raffisbauer with HSBC. I do apologize if I mispronounce your name, ma'am. Please, you have the floor.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got two questions. One is on slide 12, the one-off charge of $18 million. Is it part of the EBITDA? So that's question one. And coming back to Muskrat, if you try to put some numbers, there were some numbers in the Canadian press saying that the cost overrun was around $1.5 billion. So could you confirm that number? And if it's the case, just to understand, do we have a worst-case scenario where you have to take a loss on the contract and compared to the situation where you had just neutralized the margin?
Now, as to your first question about the one-off charge, 18.1 million euros, this is related to A4 holding. We put it after the EBITDA and EBIT because it relates to disposal of concession. Concessions are financial charges, and this is basically the actualization of the sales price. It's a one-off, and it is correctly posted because it is a financial charge. As far as Canada is concerned, your question about Canada, let me make a comment. Meaning that the worst case scenario is that with the margins equal to zero, which we took as a way of cautiousness. Now, the negotiations which are ongoing makes me hopeful. We haven't forecast an increased margin of likelihood of getting margins because we base ourselves on the worst case scenario. As to the data of the press, I thought you were mentioning the CEO, but about the press data, the Muscat Falls project is not only related to Astaldi. It's a very, very important project. There are different companies working there, and the funding of this project increased in time, and the statements and what our customers said justify such an increase in funding, but I have no other comment to make. It's a very, very complex project, and the increase in the contract value or project value is, if you wish, understandable because of the size of the project. I mean, if you look at the activities going around, going on in the construction yard, you would realize how complex that project is, and I wouldn't add anything else about this.
Okay, thank you.
The next question by Jean-Baptiste Dessier with Natixis. Please, sir, you have the floor.
Hi, good afternoon. I had just a follow-up question after an Avanti question. It's about the definition of your covenant. Just want to be sure that the EBITDA is the new reported EBITDA, meaning including JVs. Thank you for the answer.
Well, that's the EBITDA reported in our financial statements. So the answer to your question is yes.
Thank you very much.
The next question by Eamon Dacke with the Barclays. I do apologize for mispronouncing names. You have the floor,
no problem. Please. No problem. Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions and then maybe a follow-up. Just following up on the last question, the income from participations that's included in your EBITDA, is that actually cash EBITDA or is that non-cash EBITDA, just a share of the net income of joint ventures? That's question one. Question two on the 500 million RCF, can you confirm what portion of that RCF is actually drawn and what is available at this point in time, and also do the terms include any clean down mechanism at any part of the year? And then I had a follow up question on the Canadian project. It's a little bit unclear what the bridge agreement that you're negotiating with Nalcor means for the company's cash flow for that project. Are you able to confirm that the Canadian project will not consume any cash as a result of this agreement for the second half of this year at least and also going forward? Thank you.
Just a second. I'll put together the answers of the three questions and I'll come back to you in a minute. Please be patient. Thank you. Now, as far as Canada is concerned, and I'll go back to the issue of cash absorption, I'll answer no. This agreement covers the works from here to the end of negotiations and the funding of the remaining amounts of money which are necessary, and there is no cash absorption. As far as RCF line, in June, €300 million were drawn, or as of June. And then as to income from equity, let me ask Mr. Cauci to give you the answer. Now, as to the effects on 2016, well, these are at the moment non-cash. The payments will start when we cash in money. As to the two assets in Turkey, we expect some financial return starting in 2017. Okay?
Yeah, and
Let me complete the answer. there is some about technical issues about the one down you said before. There is, but please, if you need some clarification, get in touch with the investor relations office.
Okay, that's fine. One quick question on the working capital. A lot of the cash absorption during the first half has been because of a very significant increase in contract work in progress. Can you just provide a little bit more detail on that? What that involves? Is it because there have been some delays in customers actually certifying the work that Stanley has completed and already recognized in the first half revenues, or what exactly is going on there? If you could provide some details there, that would be good. Thank you.
I'll try to answer your questions. Now, as to the working capital absorption on work in progress, this is due to the fact that, especially in the two Turkish projects being in their final phase, there are milestones to be achieved, and we are in the phase of final certifications, and as of September we should have the payments being made after certification and after invoicing. Now, of course, what you see here is basically the result of these two projects. And then as to other projects, as it normally occurs at the end of the year, because of the habit of our customers to use the money that they have budgeted, there is usually an acceleration of payments, and this is something that you can also see in previous financial statements at the end of each year. This is what usually happens, and it was also in 2015.
And also continuing on working capital, if I look at just the last couple of years' history, the first half is a very sizable absorption of cash, and then again, as you have guided this time as well, the second half actually is a source of cash flow. Is that a usual seasonality in your business, or are the last couple of years just how things have panned out?
Now, it is mainly due to the seasonality of our business. Said it during the presentation, and it is very clear that this is what usually happens. And in the second part of the year, there will be a containment of, or a decrease in working capital because of advance payments, but it is mostly connected to seasonality. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Now, the next question by Marina Lolland with Tenin Capital. Please, you have the floor.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I guess my question also relates to the working capital because on one hand, you say that you have contribution to the margin from finalized projects, but on the other hand, you have this, sizable outflow. And then again, you're saying that you'll net out to 1.1 net debt for the year with all of these prepayment projects coming in H2. So, you know, I guess there's a twofold question here. So can you explain how that adds up, that you have finalization of projects, but you have absorption of the size that you have during this first half of the year? And then the second question is, you know, with these prepayment projects, what projects are these? Because you've been talking about these projects in the roadshow as well. Are these projects in the backlog? Have you secured financing for these? Like, how does it add up? Because for me, I just struggle to sort of bridge, you know, your guidance with the trends that we've seen in the first half. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Just a second, ma'am. They are trying to putting up data to answer your question. Please be patient.
Thank you.
I do apologize for letting you wait. I'll try to answer your questions by going back to what we said during the presentation about the working capital. Now, it is clear that the first half of the year absorbed cash and a big effort was made at industrial level. And there are a number of components behind this. Now, since we had to make such a big industrial effort, we could not manage as we usually do the payments to subcontractors. So we had to help our subcontractors. And this, of course, penalized our accounts in the first half of the year. Then we had projects which were connected to advance payments. For instance, the advance payment on a contract in Chile. We had an advance payment related to works that we made in the USA. We also had Etelic Hospital, which started operations, and that project had a number of milestones which had to be achieved and which we did. All of this led to advance payments in the first part of the year. Now, of course, when you complete projects, and let me repeat, the Turkish projects, the Turkish assets, but also also projects in Poland and Russia, well, these advance payments, because of all these projects, as I mentioned, Turkey, Russia, and Poland, did not give us the benefits on the working capital. Now, our projects do not have the profitability when the works are going on that it has when the works have been completed. And so we will go back having margins which are in line with the strategy plan targets. Now, there will be advance payments on new projects, and there will be the starting of the works. And I am referring to, for instance, the Brennero work. Well, this is a big project. And then all of the projects in Romania, and I'm referring to motorways or railways, the waste-to-energy plant, then projects in Poland. So, again, it is very difficult to give you all of the details of all the projects in a conference call, but if you wish to have these details, please get in touch with the Investor Relations Office, and they will be happy to help you. Thank you.
Sure. I have another question as well, and this is regarding Muskrat, if I may. I'm a little confused because you say that you're sterilized in margin, and I remember you saying this earlier this year, when we knew that cost overruns were around 10%. Now, of course, CEO indicated around 63% cost overrun, and you're still margin neutral. And given the press have been quite negative for the press conference from Nalco's CEO, basically saying that there is no negotiation, but there hasn't been a settlement with yourself, and that you have been asking for 100 more of millions for the project. And this was 3 weeks ago, and yet we keep being told that you're margin neutral. I'm just struggling to sort of bridge what you're saying, that you have good negotiations, things are sort of on track, they're going to take on the cost, versus the CEO of Nalcorp 3 weeks ago basically saying, you guys are asking for hundreds of more millions, and he said this in a press conference. So can you please just explain to me that you have no downside in this scenario? How does it work? How do I get my head around these different points of information?
Just a second. We'll collect the ideas to answer your question. I do apologize for letting you wait. Well, I do not really like to make comments about what is published in the press. And I think it is also a healthy habit on my part. The statements were made during the negotiations and which appeared in the press, I don't think are worth making comments about
these
them.
These are actual press conference where he himself.
What I can tell you is that a bridge agreement was reached about this project. The scenario that we are using, so to speak, is the worst case scenario. And I suggest you to look at the NARCOR website, where you have an update on investments and an update on the financial coverage that they are trying to secure for themselves to complete the project. As I said, I am confident that the worst case scenario is what we are at the moment posting, so to speak, in our financial statements.
I have just a little question towards the end. Would you be able to tell me what your IRR is for the Turkish assets? You indicated 13%. Is that still the case? What negotiations do you have generally around the sale of these assets as well as the Italian assets? You said that we would have some interesting news towards the end of the year. Does that mean that you're in advanced negotiations for the Italian assets? And what negotiations or any discussions, if any at all, for the Turkish assets are taking place at the moment?
Now, as far as the Turkish assets, the IRR is above 15%, 15%, and you can see it also on slide number 8 of the presentation. Now, as far as the Italian assets are concerned, we have different negotiations ongoing. We received a number of offers, and we are confident that we can comply with the disposal plan that we presented when presenting the strategy plan.
Thanks a lot. That's all for me. Thanks a lot.
Let me add something else about the Turkish assets. We said already that we were going to dispose of the assets in 2017 with the money cash in 2018 for the third bridge and for the Gipsy-Izmir work 2019, basically, with the completion of the work. So we have some time before we dispose of these assets, but we are working so that this goal is achieved.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Next question by Raul Sequeira. Please, sir, you have the floor.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. On slide, in slide 8, the certified €250 million receivables from Venezuela at end of June 16, at what currency rate are you valuing that? Are you using the Bolivar dollar rate of 10, or are you using the actual rate which is 600 effectively, just to try to understand effectively how you are valuing that receivable? And then the other question that I have is with relation to what you would believe is a minimum cash that you need to maintain in the business, and what is trapped cash versus available cash when we look at the 327 million euros of cash and cash equivalents. What do you? What is basically trapped in projects and is a minimum that you need to maintain to be able to cover those projects? And what would be basically available to the parent on that? And that what I want to try and understand is effectively on the net debt net of own shares. What is the amount of semi-equity, financial assets, which are deducted to the gross debt number? Or are they included in the cash and cash equivalent part? And the last question would be in relation to the second half. Did I understand you well that the margin in the first half, the average margin that you've got in EBITDA and EBIT, is going to be higher than what you're expecting in the second half because of the closing of significant projects, effectively, i.e. the completion of some of these projects? Thank you.
Now, as to margins, now you correctly understood what I said during the presentation. That is that during the second part of the year, EBITDA and EBIT margins will go back in line with our forecasts in the strategy plan. So you understood correctly. As to Venezuela, now, let me remind you that the certified credit is denominated in euro, not in local currency, and the exchange rate that we used is 600 against the dollar. As to the cash, it does not include the semi-equity. It's all cash. And then perhaps there was another question. We forgot the question, so perhaps if you could repeat the question, we can try and give you an answer.
Oh, of course. Just the 328 million euros cash and cash equivalents, trying to understand effectively how much is trapped in certain specific projects effectively to be able to complete them, or, for example, in foreign jurisdictions which were taking that cash out is a bit difficult. Maybe you can give us a little bit of flavor of how much of that cash is trapped in projects or in foreign jurisdictions such as Turkey, Russia, for example. And is there a sense of a minimum cash that you would that the Treasury is happy with as a minimum, as a requirement, effectively. And maybe you could, a very important question is with respect to those uncommitted facilities of 502, effectively how much, what is the proportion you've been able to roll in the first half of 2016? And what is your view of the proportion that you're able to roll? Is that proportion coming down, or is it actually remaining at the same level?
Now, more than 65% of cash is within the company. The remaining is related to contracts, and can be recalled whenever we wish. So 65% is within the company, 210, basically.
How does that compare versus the year before? At this point of time?
Just a second, sir.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
So the year before it was 425.
So you've gone from 425 to 210.
You see, sorry, just a second.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to page 13, you see the data of June 2015 and June 2016, from 423 to 327. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Stinelli, sir, there are no questions from the conference call. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining our conference call, and we'll come back to you for the next conference call, and enjoy your holidays. Thank you.